fun.
Dude, new year, new us.
Oh, no. we say...
Same year, same old
yeah,
us.
It might be the same us.
Boy, it's not the new year yet.
Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
We are technically, legally, officially... The Gilmore guys.
We changed our names.
I'm Kevin Gilmore.
I'm Demi Gilmore.
Yeah, and it's for real and a fish now.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, Gillies, as of recording this today, the time is December the 30th, 2014. This is going to be our fastest turnaround ever for an episode, which is either a disastrous or a wonderful idea, because it'll be current. But as of right now, we are, for reasons passing understanding, number one on the comedy iTunes chart,
which is insane, and we cannot thank you guys.
I don't even know what it's been.
I don't know.
I'm literally speechless. Because
my theory is that the dudes that hacked Sony hacked iTunes and were like, let's put the Gilmore guys on the top.
Good prank, bro.
Crazy prank. We'll steal all the credit card data later.
That would check out. So yeah, thank you so much for that. And originally we weren't gonna do an episode today, but we got to.
We got to.
Do you know why? Because it's all about the fans.
I was like, why? Kevin's looking at me and he's like, come on. Because
I'm
going to
die like, next week. No, it's all about the fans. No, I'm good.
I was about to say we have five seasons to go.
We, at least, five and a half, one could say. Plus Bunheads, plus the movie club, plus you talking Bruce to me.
we've got so much to go.
A lot of irons in the fire. The special shout out to Kevin O'Keefe for writing the article in The Atlantic. He was nice enough to reach out to us and interview us, even though we had to reschedule like seven times,
yeah,
like two idiots.
We were very flaky.
We're like, oh, sorry.
We're very busy.
I forgot. But shout out to him.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, he was great because this was a direct result of that, I'm certain. And we'll probably only be number one for like a day.
By the time this comes out, we'll be back to zero.
We'll be back to 292. But for a day,
out of 250.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. What other business items do we have?
Well, I just want to announce that since we're now a number one podcast, we're going to be changing some shit around.
Yeah.
Here. You're going to be hearing a lot more sounds. A lot more obnoxious sounds. Yep, more soundboards. Welcome to Morning Zoo Gilmore.
Hey, welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Radio Jack.
You've never heard the radio before?
I don't know what a radio is. I thought I made it up.
What is a radio? But in addition to giving this shout out to the Gillies, we got to give a special shout out to our special Gillies who went on iTunes.
That they did and left us a wonderful review.
Well, most of them.
Well,
one of them was kind of mean. Oh, well.
Wonderful in the sense that they did it at all.
It's wonderful that they completed the task. I mean, some people really do see things through to the end, regardless of how much they like the thing they're commenting
on.
That's
very true.
That's also true. So let's pay tribute to them in a special musical tribute to one of the characters in this show. We'll see if you can guess which one by the music.
I wonder if I can guess. I can't guess. Wait,
that's okay.
I forgot what song this is. It's Nickelback, I'm sure.
Nope.
It's not?
Nope.
What is this?
I don't know, but we got a rap, man. Oh, you ready for this?
I'm ready. Ready as I'll ever be.
Oh, I'm not... Here we go. Here we go now. Dropping the beat, yeah. Lauren abides, she does not cry. She likes to eat pies all up in the sky. Airplanes, cast in, Chavez. We want to thank you for the shout, and we like you, Cass. Thanks. AP Meadows, also thanks. That's Alexandra Meadows. She's running through the meadows. Like Geppetto. Oh no.
No, I got it. All right.
Yeah.
Chelsea Wright, we want to thank you for the words that you said. They were positive, or at least they were not really that bad. Miss Potter 612, I don't know what those numbers mean, but I know they were not mean. You did not leave a bad or a mean review, and for that, I want to say, hey, thanks. We love you.
Or with the ranting already, Freddie, I bet that person actually likes Ugly Betty.
Ooh.
That show with America Ferrera, Sisterhood. Oven traveling pants, Mr. Hood. Pants. Oh. Excuse me. Gotta give some love to Meg XYZ. Grabaholic 28. You're pretty great. Don't hate.
On Groban. I think that's what she's saying with the Grobaholic slogan. Kalila, that's with 5 A's in her name. She's got 10 A's in my grade book.
That's a big ass grade,
it's
motherfucker.
A grade book. What are we doing? Yeah. Word.
If I leave that in, that's the first time I've said the F word on the show.
Is it really?
I think. Shots fired.
If you leave that in, that's the first time we lose a ton of listeners. And no.
Apologies maybe. To my mother. I will bleep that out. I might not. Who knows? They're not listening. I texted them. I said, Mom, Dad, are you finally proud of me?
And they said, who is this?
And they said, I don't have this number saved.
Hey, really embarrassed, but who is this?
Oh, Deborah. So let's get into it. This is episode 209.
Runaway Little Boy.
Runaway Little Boy.
What a great title that
I don't know the origin.
Yeah.
Is it from Romeo and Juliet?
I don't think
that
so.
That part where Romeo's like, hey, run away, little boy.
Run away, little boy.
Maybe they're talking about Brad, because he's a little boy.
He is very much a little boy.
And he
boy.
Did run at one point.
Oh, my God.
Okay, well, let's open with a segment that we like to call Pop. Pop. Demi.
Goes.
The
culture. I was so distracted. Oh my God, I was looking at my notes and I was like, what's happening? Why are you saying, let's do it again.
Okay, with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
Oh, that felt better.
That was take one.
That was like the Eliza Skinner episode where I was like, I'm alone in this world. We all die alone.
I feel so bad.
That's okay.
I'm paying attention.
So Pop Goes the Culture, where we take every single pop culture reference in the episode, put them together in a little supercut. Play them back and see what we can make of it. And if we're too stupid to understand them, according to some people. So this is episode 209.
I don't understand them at all. I'll tell you that right now.
We're both 14. Episode 209, Runaway Little Boy, Pop Goes the Culture.
Not a soulmate.
He's never seen Ab Fab.
Judging by your Billy Graham impression,
anyone stupid enough to hang out with Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid deserves whatever they get.
Hey, George, I think he's got it.
Why don't they just sew our sides together and rename us Chang and Ang?
You say Chuck E. Cheese, I'll break your nose.
Raise your right hand and say, may Destiny's Child break up if I count these blueberries.
That was good.
That was very good. At
16. I photocopied out of Houseman's memoirs tonight.
Il Duce here is going back.
Il Duce!
The acting studio will go nuts.
She loves Il Duce.
You'll have James Lipton asking you what your favorite swear word is. It's a great plan.
And suddenly I'm the female Jerry Lee Lewis.
Louise acts like she's the priest in a Madonna video.
I saw it on Martha Stewart.
Remember that Meryl Streep movie where she and her family take a rafting trip and then Psycho Kevin Bacon forces them to take them down the river?
Hey, we're the monkeys.
I love that one.
Amorphalocino 480.
Somebody sent me a fascist ice cream maker.
Have you seen my bag with the beads and the fur kind of looks like Stalin's head?
I understand the whole mystic pizza small town, we don't let a clock run our lives thing. It's very on the town.
First, we brought you Pamela and Tommy Lee.
Today is the day we finally spring for the Powerpuff Girl shot glasses.
What's with the cast from Cocoon?
Yeah, I think somehow I'll recover from the great romance between you and the Vive.
I let her watch the Romeo and Juliet movie with Leo and Claire Danes.
It was set during the final days of the Sunday and Cher show.
One of those moments that St. Peter's going to show on the big video screen when I die.
I got The Shining like pop culture. And Bringing Up Baby.
Okay, you know what, Vanna? I'm going to need a few more vowels here.
And that No Doubt is touring with you, too. I know you're extremely disappointed in Bono.
Sometimes the way that we do that makes me want to be like, wait, pause, because I want to talk about that one specifically,
yeah.
And I don't want to forget it. The entire scene that was set up with that Cocoon reference where they're in the studio is probably my favorite scene in this entire episode.
Uh-huh.
Out of context. Like, with not even...
Well, it's just these kids showing up to Miss Patty's dance
and
studio.
And there's a bunch of old people and they fall asleep.
Well, and you know what Miss Patty's saying during that scene, too.
And in. And out.
I love when she's like saying like, be careful or your face will freeze like that. And she just walks away.
Yeah, she was not having
like,
it.
I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't care. I don't know who you are and I don't care. But the best part is when Paris walks back in and she just goes, okay, now they're sleeping. And then it just cuts. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a funny scene.
Very abrupt. The look on Dean's face when she was like, I know you're disappointed in Bono or whatever, was like, yeah, he is the coolest guy in the world.
Dean would love Bono. Of course he would. God, what a...
Apartheid.
Is that your impression of Bono?
Sure. Okay. What was one of the other ones? The one where the teacher was like, the final scene of the Sonny and Cher show.
Yeah.
And then all the class was like, that was funny. Like, yeah, Sonny and Cher.
We all love Sonny and Cher.
Oh, boy.
What is it with Lorelai loving to reference Il Duce?
Il Duce.
I don't...
Part two.
Yeah.
Chang.
Part two, Duce.
Stanley Duce.
Two chains.
Two tree like two chains. The other one that I thought was funny that you said you really liked was Hey, Hey, We're the Monkees.
Yeah.
But I feel like there was either in the... whoever on Twitter, I forget the episode, but it was either the one prior to that, there was a hey, 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 Fat Albert. It was the thing. It was like that same format. As hey, 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 all right, Fat Albert, what's the deal? What's up? Or something like that.
Hey.
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 Yeah, look, Fat Albert, get me a soda, will you?
I feel like just saying hello in this universe has to be the most annoying thing. It's like, hey. Oh, okay, Lionel Richie.
All right, D-bag.
Yeah.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for? Cool. Ugh.
It's like, come on. I came to tell you that my mom's dead. Lionel Richie.
Didn't make it a pop culture reference, ergo, don't care. The Netflix synopsis for this episode is when Rory and her classmate Tristan are cast as Romeo and Juliet in a school play, which, by the way, it's not a school play, it's a project, so Netflix is factually inaccurate. A jealous Dean insists on attending every rehearsal.
He attends one rehearsal.
Yeah, and it doesn't happen to like act three.
And it's not really like a jealousy thing. It's like, I want to support you. Okay, yeah. I'm going to go.
Weird.
Yeah.
Getting it wrong again, Netflix. Sorry.
This Dean at the rehearsal was particularly funny just because of Chad Michael Mudface's reaction to it, which was to just like smugly stare at him, just like, yeah, I'm about to kiss your girl at the end of this. Like, it was the most... I wanted to push him so badly.
It was a bad... I mean, what is comparable to the Dean v. Tristan showdown? Like, what is it like?
It's a weird showdown because, like...
It's just like two... And like, Dean's Tristan, not a D-bag, but he's just a zero.
Yeah, but also, like, Tristan's not really fighting for any... Like, he's not going to win over Rory. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's the weird thing. That's a good point, because he doesn't really have a stake in it. It's not like, I want to be with your girl. It's just like, I want to piss you off.
Yeah.
I want to piss Rory off.
Don't understand Tristan. I don't like Tristan.
He's a troubled man.
Right.
Well, you know what, dude? This is Tristan's last episode.
Thank God.
This is it.
He's off to military school.
In where?
One Tree Hill.
In
I
where?
I don't want to be anything.
God damn it.
Gotta be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I'll be somebody. I'm tired of looking around. Camera for the one I gotta do. My dog, who I'm supposed to be. I don't want to be anything other than me.
I can't believe I know. No. Oh, that's who it was.
That's it, dude.
Oh, God. Okay.
I wonder who would recognize that immediately. I don't know if they play that in the opening credits of
Is that Gavin DeGraw?
Yeah.
God damn it. Someone's going to recognize. Oh, boy. I can't believe I realized that I know all the words to that song. But also,
yeah, that's always a weird moment where it's like, oh, I guess I know this.
I laughed so hard when he was talking about how when we learned that he got suspended, I was like, oh, at the end it's gonna be like, yeah, sorry, looks like I'm moving. I just wanted him to turn to the camera and it's like, looks like I'm going to Tree Hill right at the top of the street or something like that.
Well, you know, it's interesting for just to preempt this Gilmore goof before we make it is he leaves because this is season two, so it's 2001. He leaves to go do Dawson's Creek, actually.
Really?
Here's what's weird about it, is Dawson's Creek was filmed in North Carolina. So they're still making an in-joke with the North Carolina thing, but One Tree Hill is set in North Carolina. So it's just like serendipitous. So he's not actually going to One Tree Hill from this. That wouldn't be until 2 years later. But it is, you do just assume, especially in retrospect,
that's
like,
so weird.
Oh yeah, he goes to One Tree Hill. But no, it was actually
Dawson's Creek.
DC.
Also, he's like a good guy in One Tree Hill. So it's like maybe in that 2 years, military school did some good for him or something.
Oh, maybe that's the arc. Maybe it's a weird, maybe this is part of the WB cinematic universe. The WBCU.
I can't wait till phase three.
What's phase three?
Ant-Man.
And who is the guy that comes and gets them all together at the end? Richard?
Yeah.
That's where he is. That's the business trips he's going on. Is he's going to North Carolina. He's like, Dawson, we need you for an important mission.
Your superpowers, that you're never going to die. You're too stubborn.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I mean, I'm going to give it a little bit away at the beginning, but I really did, for a non-Emily episode, which I have just a pre-existing bias with, I really enjoyed it.
I did too. I like this episode.
A lot of funny stuff.
I genuinely thought like every person had like one line at least that was like good zinger, mm-hmm. great, good reference.
Yeah.
Paris had a particular line where she's like, why? It's like, you should be Juliet. She said something like,
you're the best public speaker here. You've definitely got that waif thing down and you'll look great dead.
And I was like,
that
boom.
Was such a good line. That might have been my favorite line.
I said out loud, boom. And I watched this on a plane. So uh-huh. It was like, they didn't turn and look to me, but I immediately was like, oh, shut up.
Yeah,
shut
full
up.
Disclosure, Demi watched it
on
2 hours ago.
Yeah.
Basically, coming back from Dubai. How was that? Was
Dubia.
That fun?
It was great. It was cool. Yeah.
Right on.
A lot of sand.
I would assume.
It's fucked up, but Michelle is directly responsible for the demise of Destiny's Child.
I think so, because he didn't swear.
No.
And that's why they broke
also
up.
Also definitely counted those blueberries.
That was one of our questions from Twitter, actually, was at Liz Roper tweets, how do you feel? How do you think Michelle feels now about the breakup of Destiny's Child?
I should have counted those blueberries.
I know. It's like his big regret.
I made the mistake.
He'll go to his grave regretting it.
I hope in season 7, we just see Michelle like crying in front of a computer. It's like, I should have counted them. I should have counted them.
It's like the end of Schindler's List. I could have done more.
I could have done more. I could have saved them.
Just kidding.
What do you mean, just kidding? No, it's not like that.
But in all seriousness, guys, that doesn't actually happen in real life. Okay, so you see Chilton. By the way, we talked about the old biddy that's like, the Sonny and Cher show. But isn't Max the Shakespeare guy? Because remember, episode 4, he was like, Shakespeare!
That is true. He had a huge obsession. Did he leave the school?
If he did, they don't explain it.
Ooh, that's very... Although, it's so weird that they like start off the episode by being like, oh, remember Max? We didn't forget about him. I told you.
Unless I'm tripping and like they did explain it and he's in another episode, which is very possible.
I don't know, but still, that's such a weird... I guess like, I didn't think about it. Maybe there's another Shakespeare class because Brad said that he's like from third period Shakespeare or something. So maybe it's like...
Oh.
But then why is Rory in a different one?
Well, I know.
I'm sure. So, ooh, that's true.
Right? Because all the sexual tension.
Sexual tension. A
lot of ST in the C. Hilton. Chilton. Paris
just
Hilton.
Just one down from the ST and the D. There was one moment where...
Oh, yeah. He's in like 2 more episodes. Spoiler alert.
Does he run into her at the grocery store and go like... The Lorelai.
He runs away.
Yeah, he just runs away.
Like he molested her, as Ben Rogers put it.
There's one part where... we're skipping ahead. That's
whatever.
What we always do. There's one part where Lorelai's talking about how she's dating the dude who everyone in the town is like, he's a child. But he's really not a child. He just looks kind of young. It's weird.
Well,
but,
let's talk about that in a second.
Yeah. But there's one part where she's like, what if it doesn't work out and our class will be weird? Like, she almost married her daughter's teacher. Why would this be the thing that she's like, I can't date someone in my class?
Yeah, her business class. Like, that's the line she's drawing.
Right. She makes weird lines in the sand sometimes.
True. Too true, Monfrey. Otherwise, I mean, well, let's talk about just in general her obsession with the ice cream maker, with Il Duce.
Il Duce.
I did like how Suki brought up, you named it Fernando. And she said, I name everything.
What did she name the toaster?
Poppy.
Oh, yeah. She was
right?
Like, Poppy.
Yeah. Which, again, Pop-Tart sponsorship deal.
Oh, my God.
It totally checks out.
Pop-Tart TM?
Yeah. But otherwise, I mean, do you think she's being immature here and she's not processing well?
I think she's not processing well, but I also kind of, like, that makes sense. If someone gives you a gift and you're just like, I don't know, I don't want this because it's a reminder of a marriage that didn't work out, mm-hmm. like, I'd probably be like, I kind of want to get rid of this. But also, I'd just be like,
just toss it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be like, I can't return this. I can't do it. Like,
why make it such a high maintenance ritual?
Give it to anyone else as a gift.
Seems simple.
Yeah.
I did like, okay, so this guy, Paul, the guy that she goes on a date with that ends up being like 9 years old.
Right.
When I first saw him, he looks like a cross between Paul Walker and who?
Like Joshua Jackson?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay, I could see that.
I was just like, he's some Dawson's Creek character.
But here's what kind of pissed me off about
Heath Ledger.
Is it Heath Ledger?
I think
is
the
it
hair.
Just dead guys?
Aww.
Not to be insensitive, but is it really a cross between Paul Walker and Heath Ledger?
Duh, I see that. Anyway.
Let's check online to see if that guy's still alive.
Woo,
yep. Whoever played Paul, whoever that is.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, whoever you are, we love you. Come on the show. But when he first, they're talking by the vending machine burritos, which, by the way, don't get a vending machine burrito. He can't be good.
No, cannot be good.
But the way he's dressed is like, I was like, all right. Like, he had this nice kind of jacket on. It was almost like a professor.
Right, I was like, he's going for a professor sort of thing.
Yeah, and I was like, okay, cool. And then, cut to, they go on a date, doesn't work out, because he doesn't like ab fab, which I don't like ab fab. That's
I don't even know what that is.
But isn't it so absolutely fabulous?
I don't know.
The British TV show with the two ladies?
I've never even heard of Britain. What is that?
Oh, we got a lot of work to do.
I'm 12.
exactly, like we previously stated. But then they go into Luke's with his mommy and daddy.
And he's wearing a South Park shirt.
South Park shirt, shaggy hair, which I guess he had, but the baseball cap, which I guess is a trademark of men on this show. But how is that at all connected to the guy we saw in the vending machine burrito scene?
I thought that dude was weird initially because he starts talking about, like, I think that we're getting trained to feel how our mothers are going to be replaced by machines. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, his line was, and I just wrote down this line with three thumbs down emojis next to it. He says,
unless you're firmly into the whole coin thing, then I know a good automat.
I know a good automat. That was like one of his smooth lines. Go ahead.
At first I was like, have we met this guy before? He's being such a weirdo. And Lorelai's like, okay with it. I don't know. But no, we have not.
It did pick up in the middle of it in a weird way that you don't see often on the show. Where they do have, like, an existing relationship.
Dog in with a burrito. So I don't know what this is.
Classic burrito bit. Yeah. Hey, Chris Hardwick, enjoy your burrito.
Is that a Hardwick?
That's a burrito bit. That's the end of every Nerdist.
I don't listen to my boss's podcast.
Welcome to the Nerdist podcast. Sorry, that's a bad Chris Hardwick.
I thought he was in the room.
And then what I do like about that scene, though, is the look at the end of it. I feel like Lauren Graham really, really nails. Because he, like, kind of asked her out. Did she say yes in that scene?
She didn't. I think it, like, cut before she gives an answer. And, like, she does give that look of, like, what's happening?
Yeah. It's just those looks are so good on
the show. Just casually like, yeah, I mean, I'm asking you to dinner. What? I do this at the end of every conversation. I'm confused.
And then come to the arcade with me.
Yeah.
And play Dance Dance Revolution.
Come meet my parents. Yeah. They have to sign off on this chaperone form before we can go.
Come rent a car with me. I can't. You can. And then we meet Brad, who does MVP. Come back.
He does?
Yeah.
Even though he apparently transferred
school. He comes back.
By the way.
Yeah.
How do both Brad and Tristan transfer before a giant project on a Saturday? Because the play is on a Sunday, and they rehearse on a Saturday night. So between that Saturday night and the very next morning, two people have dropped out of the school.
Right. Well, on the DVD, there's a deleted scene where they both go into the transfer office, which is open 24/7.
What are you doing here, kids? Don't you know it's a Sunday at 4 a.m.?
And then Tristan looks at the camera and says, I gotta see a man.
About a tree hill.
About a creek.
This isn't even the right theme for this.
Gotta be Lele.
All I have to do is think of me and I'm Dawson's Creek.
I'm tired of One Tree Hill and I'm disassembling cars and putting them in the hall.
Is that what he does?
Yes. Do you? Oh my God. That was, I had a huge issue with that. So I've seen this trope in other shows before of like the bad kid being like, yeah, my prank was I disassembled a car and put it back together in the school. What kind of prank is that?
That's a trope?
No, yes, I've heard this done before in a different show, and I can't remember what show, but my first thought is, how long does that take?
Peyton Place.
Peyton Place, for sure. How long does that take? Who was helping you do this? How good are you with cars that you can do this?
Yeah.
Was the school empty for months? Like, what the fuck? They literally just mention it like, yeah, took apart a car and put it back together in the science building. It's like, what? You have a lot more to mention. Do you have a NASCAR pit crew working with you? What's the deal?
And then they were talking about the crime he committed, and Rory's like, okay, well, you know, you were just going through something. And Tristan's like, I was going through a safe.
Yeah, what? I hated that.
Like, which is a burn on himself. Okay, so let's talk about the Tristan burns in this episode.
He burns himself. The entire ending is him just going like, yep, I fucked up.
Yeah, he just becomes like a stand-up comedian by the end of it. Like, yeah, so I hate myself. What?
Yeah.
But also, he works. I feel like he's finally honed, and I imagine him up the night before perfecting all of these. He's honing in the grocery store clerk burn, because that's all it is. It's like, hey, you want to pick him some flour? Oh, is that $1 for $2 on Tuesday?
What
hey,
if it's run on beans?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was a weird thing. When he comes into town and he goes to Taylor Dosey's market for no...
I heard him say it and I was like, that pronunciation.
And he goes into Taylor Dosey's market and they have a weird standoff about nothing, really.
No, really. They're just like, it's just a testosterone off. It's very weird.
It's just a D measuring contest. Yeah. And then he drops the bag of flour on the floor. He's like, here, let me cover it.
Yeah. It's like $2 and he's just like, here you go.
Does that cover?
No. First
a
of
bag
all,
of flour?
No.
It's more.
It's definitely more. I don't know what sort of economy Stars Hollow has that $2 covers it, but it doesn't.
I wish it was like 50 in euros that he dropped. Like, that should do it, bro.
He just drops like a Ziploc baggie full of coins. He's like, hope that counts.
This is Chuck E. Cheese coins, which got a shout out in this app.
That it did.
But
I also love that in the middle of his work, Dean just walks outside and goes, I'm going to walk around the block, even though there's a huge mess on the floor now.
That and the block is 20 feet
it's
round trip.
It's a pretty big block. He goes...
Oh, you're saying it's a big block?
Well, I'm saying, like, it's a big block. Like, he's gone for... For Taylor... Okay. I always have to, like, in my head say it, like, right. Taylor Dosey.
Yes, you got it.
Okay, for Dosey, like... Obviously, we know he's the kind of guy that's like, oh, my employee is gone. He's been gone for long enough to walk around the block.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a huge mess on the ground. Like, what's happening? Like, he's going to get fired as soon as he comes back. And I love that he also just like, get him out of the store. And Rory goes like, right away. I was like, what's happening?
It is a weird chain of command in Dosey's market.
In Dosey's market. Did you hear the shout out to MissPatty.net?
Yes. Okay. So, well, let's go there right now.
What is that website?
MissPatty.net. I think someone actually registered it.
So,
it's loading right now.
What?
So, as it stands right now, guys, it is Miss Patty's Math Corner.
What? You're on the wrong one. Wait, show me what you
see. It's MissPatty.net.
Nah, dude.
What?
MissPatty.net.
Oh, shit. Okay,
here's the thing. All right.
MissPatty.net.
Welcome to Miss Patty's Dance School of Stars Hollow, now owned by Emily Johnston. I don't know who this is, but the next line is, Taylor, go fuck yourself. This website was created out of our love for Miss Patty and the Gilmore Girls, especially Emily Gilmore and Sookie, which they misspelled.
They misspelled Sookie, so they're huge fans.
I love that they just write, Taylor, go fuck yourself. Who is Taylor?
Whoever has this domain name, get in touch with us.
Please.
we can do something with this. We would make a monument.
I'm gonna make an offer right now. Oh, $10.
Yeah, I'm gonna match it and raise you. I'm gonna say 12.
Oh boy.
Sorry.
Okay, sorry. It's all Kevin's now. The auction's over.
But Miss Patty, again, she's one of those characters. You don't know how much you miss her until she's back on screen. I literally yelled watching this last night, "Oh yay!" when she came back on screen. Because I was so happy, and she had that great line.
And in. And out.
She just blows the smoke.
Why is she. Doesn't she, like, teach, like, exercise classes and stuff, too? And she's, like, smoking throughout all of them?
She is smoking. She is blowing smoke down the throats of 3-year-olds.
She really
she's
is.
Teaching them boundless.
Who wants to hear about this time I cage dance with Tito Puente?
Miss Patty. You know what's funny about that scene too is if you pause it on DVD, or you don't even have to pause it, but you can see Paris standing outside right
say,
behind
she's
her.
She's just standing
just
there.
She's waiting for a cue, basically.
I assume that, like, in my mind I justified it like, oh, she comes in and says it's now 4 minutes later. Maybe she's been there since 8 just waiting. But like still it seemed like she was just waiting for the director to go and scene.
Exactly. Oh my gosh.
There's a really good I don't even have any jokes to make about it, but there's a good scene with Lorelai talking to Rory, and she's like, "All right, I'll be Dean." And she plays Dean.
The
she
guy
plays
voice.
Him really well.
Oh, well, at first she's like, "Hey, Rory."
Oh, yeah.
Which I was thinking
the
is really
voice
funny.
Is really funny.
Yeah.
But
which even, I think is just her general guy voice, which is super funny.
But I mean, she even nails it where she's just like, "Oh, part to the left, part to the right," when she's like imitating him as she's going to sleep. But also just when she imitates him, usually in situations like that in sitcoms where it's like, I'll play this person, they play it so casual and it's like, oh no, everything's going to be right. But she plays it in a way that's like, here's the worst possible situation.
Yeah, it was really emotionally grounded.
I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, I mean, I think because she was concerned. She was like, did you tell him?
Yeah.
And I know, I said in a previous episode, like, this never comes back, the Chekhov's gun thing. And Tristan left. I don't think it does. I mean, it did kind of in this episode when he had that mind game moment with her when they were rehearsing.
At the party?
Yeah. Remember at the party? In Act One.
I hated that. There's so many moments of this episode alone where I want to punch him. I hate him so much. And in that entire scene, he looks like he's wearing a shirt that's slightly too big for him. It's just
it's just slightly too big. I thought that too.
It's like he either went into his dad's closet and got it, or like he was wearing a shirt that had like a swear word on it, and school just gave him like a really old T-shirt they had or something.
Yeah, they had to cover him up.
Yeah,
and then that scene too.
T-shirt said butthole on it.
That was the one rehearsal Dean was present for.
Yeah,
which Netflix was very quick to call every rehearsal, which I guess is technically correct because that's the one we see.
Yeah, if that's the only rehearsal. Yeah,
but there was two great things about that scene. Well, there was one great thing is Brad gets a call on his cell phone and they say, who's it? It's either Madeline Louise says, who could possibly be calling you? Like he is the Jerry Gergich of this show.
He is.
In this episode.
I hope he comes back just because of him being the Jerry Gergich.
Yeah.
God, I love that though. They're all, when they open their phones and she's just like, who could possibly be calling you?
Which by the way, is it, okay, I'm really screwing myself over. Madeline Louise, the one with the bangs. The bangs!
I think Madeline's the blonde one.
Madeline's blonde, Louise's bangs?
Yeah.
Did her bangs look extra bad this episode?
I didn't notice.
Well, let's get into the fashion report.
Fashion!
Her bangs look like Edward Scissorhands' slower little brother cut them.
Damn!
I am up.
I wish I had the soundboard ready to go, just like, uh-oh.
One girl in the opening classroom scene is wearing a plaid bandana at Chilton, which I don't think would be regulation.
She's in a gang. You didn't mention it. No one wants to get cut in Shakespeare class.
Did Mrs. Kim have sideburns in her scene?
What? I don't think so.
Roll it back, dude. I think she might have. She might have had sideburns in that one scene, which was perfect. Was a perfect Mrs. Kim scene. Did you take biology? No, why not? 1 year is enough. You didn't like it?
I didn't like it for the reason that we always say about Ms. Kim, where I'm just like, it feels like a caricature, even though it's based on someone. I'm just like, come on. Like,
right.
She would know what classes her daughter is taking.
But
would she go down the list and just be like, oh, why don't you also take this class and this class? Oh, you think one class is enough? Like, they're in the middle of the year. Why is this?
At the same time, in this scene, I really felt like there was a sense of fun that didn't exist in other scenes with Mrs. Kim and Lane.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, there was kind of a rat-a-tat that wasn't just like, you sit here, right. I see all. It wasn't like that. It was kind of like, did you do that? She was almost like razzing her a little bit. Maybe, it wasn't totally.
Maybe it was playful.
Yeah, but a little bit. It wasn't like,
yeah,
she was like,
we're pals, dude.
Cutting him out. Yeah. No, I'm just joshing with you, Lane.
Just fucking with you, Lane. I know you don't take bio.
I don't have a good Mrs. Kim impression.
I don't either. I don't even want to try because that could go very south very quick.
Just ask Mickey Rooney, RIP. Other fashion choices. Oh, well, Lorelai pigtails on Lorelai on a 33-year-old woman.
She's worn the pigtails a few times, and I love them every time.
You do?
I do.
I have mixed feelings. I want to like them, but then I'm like, is it gross if I like them? Because pigtails are such like a little girl thing.
That's actually very true. You know? I like them because I think she looks cute in them, but yeah, from like, I should not overthink it. From a distance, it's the kind of thing where it's like dudes who fetishize like schoolgirl outfits. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I don't want to, no.
Yeah, she's not walking around in a plaid skirt.
No, yeah.
Like her slutty daughter is constantly.
Oh my God.
Okay, so we're actually pulling it up. No, I'm just kidding.
I know, but still.
Alexis, we love you. Like, Rory is not slutty yet.
Maybe she's changed. She's Juliet.
Okay, so check this out. I've pulled up the scene and we're examining Mrs. Kim's head. Can you see it?
I can.
You can?
Yes.
Okay. So are those sideburns?
Yeah.
What? I think maybe that was the style then. I don't know.
She definitely has a new haircut, which, by the way, I like.
Like that. And she is, I feel like she is very Taylor in that she's wearing that same blue jacket, you know?
Yeah.
In the sense of like Taylor always wears the cardigan.
Maybe that's what the go fuck yourself on the website is for Dozy.
For the cardigan?
Yeah. Hey, Taylor, go fuck yourself.
Oh, I'm sure they're talking about Taylor Dozy.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Unless it's just like, I have a friend named Taylor and he saw this website and I don't like him very much.
Or maybe it's the premise like Gilmore Girls season 11. Miss Patty has a Tumblr and she writes a real drunken late night post and she accidentally lets out, Taylor, go fuck yourself.
I don't like how your bag boy treated me that one time.
Let's talk about Lane and Henry real quick while we're at it. And while we're at it, let's take a look at Henry's room. I have it pulled up for me and Demi to look at. But I just want to examine all the props in it. Because this is one of those things that I'm sure whoever was doing it on the day was like, two dudes in 15 years are not going to be talking about this. But guess what? We're going to talk about it.
You were wrong.
Henry's very sweet in this episode. I actually really like him a lot.
I like Henry a lot, too, which makes me worried because he's introduced too early, so I know he's not going to be there for
that. Maybe he is. I don't know.
Oh.
Okay, but let's check it out. There's a lot of confusing things in here. I think that's a lava lamp.
Because you know he loves to party.
He's sitting on his bed like a girl, which is, like, there's nothing
wrong
with that.
His bed is perfectly made. Why is it's like... He made the bed and it's like, time to call a girl.
I mean, don't we all do that before we call girls?
Bed's made. My Eiffel Tower is standing perfectly on the nightstand. That's time to flirt.
It's the Eiffel Tower lamp.
Yeah.
There is a picture behind him.
What's the picture of?
This I do not know. And this is the big mystery. And all our gillies out there, try to tell me what it is. It looks like it could be a naked man at the beach with his butt.
It definitely looks like it could be. Or it could be like a old photo of his dad at the beach or something. But it's still a framed photo of a man.
A misshaped, something.
Like,
well, maybe
looking
that's
away
a
from the camera, though.
It looks like a super pale butt is what it looks like.
And it's then, the copper toned kid.
Copper boom. And then in the very right-hand corner, which was not present until this came on Netflix, because of the cropping of the 16:9 frame, get online.
AOL, get online.
Get online, man.
I hope they zoom out and it's like Tony Hawk surfing on a keyboard or something.
Henry loves the internet.
http://backflip grind ollie.
Oh my gosh. You know, not a big Luke episode.
No.
Generally.
Although he has
some choice moments.
Yeah, some very petty moments in the coffee shop. There was one particular scene that I laughed a lot where he finds out that Lorelai's dating again and he's pouring someone else's coffee and he looks back at her And I imagine him just getting distracted. And imagine your waiter, like, getting distracted because someone else is talking about something that has nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, that's enough coffee.
Hang on, Taylor.
Hang on, I'm listening to this conversation about a girl.
Do you feel like he does that? Or maybe we hear that more later on.
What?
Just the affected voice. The affected voice where he's like, damn it, Taylor, I don't want any of you in here. Ah. Like, there's a little Catherine Hepburn in there. Like, you'll hear. We'll talk about
it
later on.
I hear it in certain points, but yeah, it's not very prominent.
I want all of you out of the shop right now. By the way, where's Jess?
I don't know. He mentions... Yeah, no, I didn't think about it until he mentioned his nephew. I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
I didn't care because I feel like if Jess is introduced, then we got to have like some weird triangle of Rory. Like, he'll come to the show and he'll be like, if Jess were in this episode, I guarantee what would happen is last minute Paris is like, then who is going to be our Romeo and Juliet? It's like, no, you know, I've read Romeo and Juliet. I'll do it.
I got my Tool t-shirt next to my Metallica t-shirt.
I'll do it as long as you let me present it like a rock opera.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
I want to talk about, well, just like we all know and the world knows by now that Melissa McCarthy is a national treasure.
Is.
is. Yeah, I didn't say was. She
no,
is.
No, I know. I just, yeah.
Not was. Melissa, we love you. Come on the show.
Come on the show, please.
Please come on the show.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's a commitment.
It's a commitment.
No, it's not.
Okay, well.
That's like that movie, it's a verbal contract.
What's a verbal contract?
It's a contract that's made verbally.
Spoken.
Can I tell you something?
Tell it.
This is a Gilmore tangent. That's not an alliteration. Why did
Gilmore
I say that?
Gilmore tangent. It's not alliteration.
Gilmore tangent.
I love that you're just like, you just put Gilmore in front of a thing. Yo, I've got a story. It's a Gilmore story.
A Gilmore story.
So I was coming back from the airport, and I tripped. No, okay.
Whoa. Do you know of a movie called Theodore Rex?
No.
I'll make this 30 seconds for everyone who hates
topic. Is it about a T-Rex that's like a police officer?
Yep.
With Whoopi Goldberg?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Theodore Rex is a movie about a police officer. Dinosaur cop and Whoopi Goldberg. And
by the way, I don't know the premise of how the
but here's
dinosaur.
The poster. It's like, what are you gonna do?
It looks like the poster for The Jerk, but like with the dinosaur,
the Dino Jerk. And the thing, because Melissa McCarthy just made a verbal agreement. Whoopi Goldberg made a verbal agreement to be in this movie. She didn't sign anything. But she basically said, "I'll do it," and then she was like, "I don't want to do it." And then the director was like, "We're gonna sue you, so you do this movie." And she was like, "Okay." And then she got like $8.5 million for Theodore Rex.
Oh my god!
And it went straight to video. And at the time, it was the most expensive straight to video movie ever made.
I believe that because you got to CG a dinosaur in half the scenes. Jesus.
No CG.
It's a puppet, but like they've got to CG some stuff, right? They can't just be like,
I don't know.
I feel like they have to. There's got to be some stuff that you can't make a dinosaur puppet shoot someone.
Guys, let's look it up.
We're going to take a brief pause right here to watch all of Theodore Rex.
All right, we'll be right back.
That was the craziest ending I've ever seen.
It was French. It seemed very French to me.
Why did he kill those kids?
I don't know, man. I guess, that was like 92, so it was pre-Columbine, but still.
Man.
Hmm.
Anyway, also didn't get any revelations as to the CGI.
No. Anyway, we'll talk about it in the Gilmore Guys movie club.
Yeah,
we should. Theodore Rex. I will do it.
The movie that no one is involved in with the Gilmore Girls.
But maybe one of them saw it.
Back to the show that this podcast is based on.
Oh, yeah, this is Gilmore Guys. I forgot. When they go to Chilton and they're all doing their Romeo and Juliet scenes. Oh, you know, screw that. I was talking about, not screw that. I'm just saying, we'll get back to that. But Melissa McCarthy, she can make such not good jokes work. Like the scene, I think it's the opening of Act 3, or it might be Act 4, when she's talking to Lorelai. And the line is, "I'm so excited. Shakespeare, Romeo and Juliet, so romantic. Oh, Romeo, blah, 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 in the blah." That's all the Shakespeare I know. And it's so good.
It really is.
And it's not a joke. It's like a fifth grader wrote it.
I also love the line, like, after the play is done, she's like, "I feel so smart. Let's go do some other smart stuff." And she's like, "Let's just go to Luke's," or something like that.
I know. Their faces after Romeo and Juliet, when Rory and Paris's version, after it concludes, their faces are like, "Well, that was a piece of shit." Yeah. They're like laughing about
right.
it. They were very unsympathetic to them in that
Our
moment.
Our daughter fucking sucks, dude. Or my daughter. Can we talk about the other
the
parts
caveman?
Of the caveman?
What did that remind you of?
The Geico caveman?
It reminded me of Rushmore.
Ooh, yeah.
Right?
I see that. Kinda?
Yeah. But
I also
Geico
think...
caveman, Nick Kroll.
I know. Yeah. Oh, my God. I also think of Dr. Zaius from The Simpsons.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
Dr. Zaius.
Ooh, Dr. Zaius.
But I laughed so hard at the one that Henry's involved in, the, like, weird West Side Story, Wolf of Wall mm-hmm. Street. Like, I wrote down Upper West Side Story.
Henry Eats a Goldfish.
Oh, my God. I don't know what that was about, but it looked like they were, like, tasing each other. I was like, what?
Maybe they were.
Maybe. They were like, "We're going to bring Taser to school for this one."
Lane's look at Henry in that scene.
Oh, my God.
She was literally, I forget what she was clutching, but she was just like
clutching
so
like a pencil over her heart.
Goo goo for Gaga.
Right.
Yeah. It was endearing. I liked it a lot.
It was adorable.
It was adorable. No, it was just regular adorable.
You know, it was adorkable, and I say this because it was more dorky than adorable, was Paris dressed up as Romeo at the end.
That was so cute. Oh,
she's
my gosh.
Dressed, she has, like, a bowl cut. She looks like Bran from Game of Thrones and, like, the berries and cream Starburst.
Oh, you're right. That's right? What she looks like.
Yeah.
By the way, we never closed the fashion report, so let's do that right now.
Well, are we closed? Because we're talking about...
That's true.
Paris. Paris looks crazy. All right, here we go.
All right.
Fashion.
Cool. And then comes the scene, man. We say goodbye to Chad Michael Mudface.
As we go. Just kidding. I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I'm peace of mind. I'm tired of looking around rooms, wondering what I gotta do, or who I'm supposed to be. I don't wanna be anything other than me. The One Tree Hill is coming.
Let's just have this playing for the rest of this conversation.
No one is gonna listen to this part.
It's fine.
Yeah.
He says, I gotta go. I'm going to military school, baby.
I love, actually, I fucking hated, I can't do this.
Yes, you can.
I hated how he was like, I'll see you around, Mary. And she gives him like this look like, how cute of you to call me that name.
I hated that.
It's like, I don't like you, and I hated that name. You tormented me with it, but I love that you.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and buy a piece of mind. I'm tired of looking around, who's wondering what I'm gonna do, oh, who I'm supposed to be. I don't wanna be anything other than me.
Yo.
Oh, shit.
I don't wanna be.
No, I'm kidding. Demi took his mic off the stand.
I took the mic off the stand. I was about to freestyle
rap.
Oh
my gosh. Oh.
It got dangerous. Gonna have to be. What? There's more? What was that?
Nope.
Whoa.
I don't like that at all.
How much of this can we play before we're just sharing a song with people?
Oh, I think we're talking over. It's fine.
Oh, okay. Thank God for fair use.
What I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I have peace of mind.
Can we talk about that? All I have to do is think of me and I have peace of mind? The hell?
Selfishness makes me feel good.
Worship yourself. You are infallible. Do ba do do do. Gavin, we love you.
Yeah.
But let's talk about
it. Let's have some introspection.
The philosophy
come
behind
on
these
the intervention.
Lyrics is, you know what? I forgot to play my favorite little clip. Miss Patty comes in. They all know that she dated the 12-year-old. And all their zingers, I actually think, are really funny.
I think they're really funny,
like,
too.
Like the Doogie Howser thing. And then Miss Patty comes in and says,
Lorelai, there you are, you naughty, naughty girl.
She just walks right
you
off.
Naughty, naughty girl.
She's like, he didn't even look that young. How did you see? Kirk took photos. What a weirdo. Kirk just is like...
Oh, I missed that part. She said Kirk took photos?
She said Kirk took photos, which is funny because Kirk is the whole, like, he wants to be a photographer and whatnot. But also, just imagine him sitting there and, like, he realizes there's something going on. He's like, it's time to take pictures. And he just starts handing them out to the townspeople. Kirk is such a weirdo. I love him.
Oh, we get more of his backstory later.
Oh, I hope we do.
And just more stories. Once he's added to the... Technically, to the main cast, things just take off in a big way.
My favorite thing, that entire scene where Paul is in the diner, that entire situation with Paul is ridiculous because not only does he come up to Stars Hollow to get coffee with his parents, which is like a 30-minute drive.
Well, they say antiquing, too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. He said, we're going to go antiquing. So maybe they heard tell of Mrs. Kim.
Still, I just imagine, like, some woman is like, yeah, I live in this one town. It's pretty cool. We have coffee and antiquing and stuff. Mm-hmm. Some pretty cool stuff around. He's like, I'm going to take my parents there. Like, just what? And also, Lorelai apparently tells Paul all about Luke and Rachel.
How did they get there?
Huge boundary.
Yeah, and then they say, sorry about Rachel.
And then Paul tells his parents? What? there's so many like boundary jumps there where I'm like, whoa. And Luke is so calm. He's like, what's happening?
So, and what is that conversation? It's, yeah. So this girl I went on a date with has this guy who she's probably perfect for, but he was dating this girl named Rachel. But then that didn't work. Where do you... I barely tell my parents anything about
where
my
does
life.
The yeah,
which
yeah.
they complained about a lot.
So anyway,
Christmas
I'm gonna
break.
Take you to this town that this girl is in. Take you to the coffee shop she hangs out all the time. Maybe you'll see this dude and you can apologize about knowing so much about his personal life.
Oh my gosh, amazing. And then just on the topic of Luke, it finally comes back. Like we're 4 episodes out of all the Max stuff, or a couple episodes out at least. And Suki brings it up. Luke, you'd be perfect for Luke, blah, blah, blah.
I hate that Lorelai still's like, what? No.
Yeah, it is straining credibility.
It's like, it's the same thing, too. I feel like she's always just like, someone's always like, don't you know Luke's in love with you? She's like, oh, come on. And it's like, I think you're in love with Luke. Oh, come on. It's like just those two things.
I could see sustaining that. I mean, listen, we're men of the world.
We are.
That we are. But I could see that sustaining in a realistic way for a month.
And even she'd at least get...
Oh, no. Demi's mic started drooping.
Yeah.
His microphone. His actual microphone, guys. Ladies.
My microphone never droops. We're going to cut that out.
Date me, Jamie.
Hashtag date me, Jamie. Get it trending. I want to see Jamie Whittam on speed dates with 20 different... I don't know what's happening. What am I talking about? What was I talking about?
You were talking about Luke and Lorelai Tinch.
In a real situation, she would at least just be like, shut up. Like,
yeah, just like please. Cool it.
Yeah, it's like, come on. Like, this isn't funny. I don't want it. Like, that's
be
my friend. Just
anything.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately, all right?
You mean?
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and our peace of mind. I'm tired of looking around rooms, wondering what I gotta do or who I'm supposed to be. I don't wanna be anything other than me.
So she basically says that.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It wasn't realistic for me. Despite all the straining credibility, tension, and conversation that Suki and Lorelai have about Luke, it does lead to a really great scene at the end. I do legitimately love that scene.
No, yeah, I like that scene too. It's one of the few moments where we see Luke like smile and have a very nice moment, and it felt very real and it didn't feel like strained. I was very nervous about, I didn't realize how nervous them talking about dating would make me, but when she's like, how good are you at dating? I was like, is this where it happens? Is she going to ask him out? I was like, oh my God, it's coming. I'm not prepared. But I was like, I don't know. It was weird that I thought of it that way because I was like, oh, they should fucking date already. And then when he comes, I'm like, what? No, they can't. I'm not emotionally prepared yet.
Because as of right now, we've talked about this before on the show, but your prediction as of right now, episode 209.
I don't even remember my prediction.
Season 2 finale. That's what you said. Yeah. You said it's got to be a finale.
Is that what moment. I said they're going to kiss or when they're...
That they're at least going to like say, I have feelings for you. Oh. Or that they're... I don't know.
They'll
stop dodging
the damn bullet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So season 2 finale is Demi's prediction.
I believe it.
Demi, by the way, if you're just listening to this for the first time, I don't know why you are, but...
Me? I am.
Well, you are.
I'm hearing these words for the first time live.
You know, me too. That's actually a funny way to think about it. It's like every episode of your life is a new episode to you. Have you ever thought about that?
Kevin is high as hell right now.
And then there's that... You know what's nice about that conversation is Lorelai doesn't make jokes.
No, she doesn't.
There's no references. There's no jokes.
It's all genuine.
She's not like, oh, how very Richard Simmons of you. It's totally genuine. And then she talks about, like, you know, there's not a lot of people that I let in. And talks about, like, the small circle of people that do exist. She's like, I think I got you. And before she even finishes the sentence, though, he's like,
you do.
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, so
that's
sweet.
Nice. That's really nice. So that was a good ep. I'm trying to think of other great moments we would have skipped over. Oh, we did skip over Bootsy's story about boning a grandma. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. She Bootsy died.
Yeah, she died.
I love that we get introduced. Is this the first time we're seeing Bootsy?
No. Okay. You've asked that the last three times.
Seriously? Come on. He's so forget. He feels like a Scruffy the janitor from Futurama. Like,
yes, that's the equiv.
He seems that way. Like, I mean, I love Scruffy, but at the same time, it's like, if I saw an episode with Scruffy, I'd be like, that guy's great. I hope he comes back. Like, he's been here like 10 times. But, oh, was he in the stoplight episode too?
Yeah, and he was in the episode where the hilarious chalk outline prank.
Yeah, that was the... Wasn't that the stoplight episode?
No.
Oh, okay. But I just love the... In this episode, he comes in by saying, like, I heard you were dating a kid. he's just like, yep. I mean, I understand that dynamic.
The gossip of this town. Oh, the one other, just a few loose ends. Does Paul's dad look like Stephen Collins from Seventh Heaven?
Yes.
Totally, right? Like a skinny Stephen Collins.
It was weird. When they walked in, I at first didn't recognize that it was Paul because he was in the background. It was like... them, like him, his dad, and his mom, and I was just like, is that two Ethan Embrys and a woman? That's what they looked like. I was very
totally
confused.
I get that.
And then he came to the foreground. I was like, oh, it's Paul and his dad, who I guess kind of very much looks like Paul. But yeah, I'm still very frustrated about how they dressed him in that scene of like,
it is so
dumb. It's the weekend. I don't wear
clothes. He had it together in that one scene, and then he just bombed.
He should have just been wearing like a beanie with a propeller cap on it. It would have.
Well, someone made that exact joke.
Oh, did they?
Right.
I think so.
I think Rory said that.
I cannot believe we didn't talk about the scene where Paris goes off to find Tristan in the bathroom, and she speed walks down the hallway
like a grandma.
Like a grandmother.
So amazing.
It was great.
Yeah, it was really.
There's
really
a lot of like subtle physical comedy moments in that and in Brad going, Tristan, come back! When they're at the rehearsal and Tristan just like pieces out and Paris goes after him like, Tristan, come back! Brad follows suit just going, Tristan, come back! Because he knows that he will have to be the Tristan in his place.
Oh boy.
Oh my god, I love Brad.
I like that Tristan's friends' names were Duncan and Bowman.
What?
Which I think only those names only exist in 2001. I don't think they ever existed again.
You don't think
just for one?
You don't think anyone else was ever named Duncan? They're
nope. Is that a 2001 name?
In 2000, they're like, dude, I'm gonna name my kid Duncan. In 2001, they were like, that was a bad idea. Like no one else did it anymore.
We'll go by your middle name, Paul. It always reminds me of that show that was on WB for four episodes in like 1999. Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane. Stars holla out to that show. It was on for like a season.
We should do an entire podcast about that show.
I don't think you can find it. It's on DVD.
We'll split it into minutes of the show, like the Star Wars minute people, but Zoe, Duncan, whatever.
Jack and Jane.
I forgot already. No, but...
Should we rate it? Should we rate it up?
I want to quickly mention that the table arrangement at Luke's keeps changing, and it's so stupid and infuriating.
Oh, where like the salt shakers are and the ketchup and all
that
stuff?
No, but like the tables in general...
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, in the episode where we made fun of Rachel for fucking up with ketchup, you can tell that there's, like, rows of tables. And now, in this one, it's like there's a desk that they're sitting at in the middle of the room.
Sometimes there's a desk in there.
But it's so... Why a desk?
Wait, who was sitting at the desk?
Rory, Lorelai, and Dean comes in, and that's when he's like, oh, I want to go to the rehearsal. But it's, like, not a table. It's, like, a desk. There's, like, a drawer in it.
Oh.
It's so weird.
Maybe it's just whatever the blocking calls for.
And I don't know.
Maybe
the doorway.
That was one of Jess's pranks, is he's like, I'm going to put desk I'm where tables were.
And Luke's just like, I don't know what this place looks like usually.
Come
this
on,
seems
Jess.
About right.
Jess, get these desks out of here. And then
push you into the river again.
Also, actually, speaking of Luke's, we gotta, and it's not obvious, and it's only for 20 seconds, but it really cracked me up. That scene, it was the scene where Luke perks up when he hears that Lorelai went on a date, and he's like, huh? And he looks over. If you look in the background of Rory and Lorelai talking, there's a background actress at one of the tables that does not know what to do with her hands. She doesn't know. She like puts them on her lap and then on the table, but she is so restless, like a real Ricky Bobby come to life. Does not know what to do with her hands.
I love that. I love the background extras of this show.
We could have a podcast just about background extras. Interview background extras.
There should be a television show about the extras.
Nah, that'd be stupid.
Yeah.
Starring an atheist?
No. Wow. That would be the... That's... That would never work. Sorry, oh my God. I wasn't looking, and I thought I was having an aneurysm.
Well, let's do Twitter Q&A before we rate
Twitter
it, actually.
Q&A.
This comes from Martin Fisher from Twitter, at TinMan815. And he says, do you think sending Rory to Chilton kind of goes against the rejection of the upper class vibe, or was it a means to an end? Because that's kind of a theme in the show, I guess, is like classism, and Lorelai's always raging against the machine as
far
as that goes.
Was it a rejection of that, though?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's kind of weird and strange. Against the rejection of the upper class vibe. Because Lorelai rejects the upper class. Yeah, because she doesn't do the cotillion.
I think it's her accepting that, like, yeah, the upper class vibe isn't my thing, but it's also, like, it's what Rory needs. It's what she... Like, Rory needs a good education, and even though I hate the upper class, like, I need to do my best for my kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, well, asked and answered, Martin. Oh, he has two more.
Oh, Marty.
Marty, different Marty than on the show. We'll meet him later. He might actually come on the show, did I tell you that?
Who?
Well, you'll find out later.
Who is Marty? Wait. Is
that season even... 4. Oh, actually. Okay. He's a real guy, and this isn't a bit. No bit zone. Martin says, if Rory had a lesbian relationship on the show, who would it be with and why?
Marty took a deep nosedive from a class struggle question
I guess it's,
to make a fanfic.
Is that a legit question?
That was a weird...
It would have to be Paris.
I feel like I insulted you unintentionally by saying that, but no, yeah, I'm going to answer this. Definitely Paris. Yeah. No question. Or Madeline, because Madeline is admittedly, like, flirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's known... She's not really a target shooter. It's just kind of everywhere. And then he says, Mary F. Kill, Jess, Dean, and Tristan.
I'm going to go ahead and kill Tristan.
I don't know, dude.
Nope. I'm going to kill Tristan.
I might kill Jess.
I'm going to kill Tristan.
Wait, I got to cut this out. No, everyone's going to unsubscribe if I say I'm going to kill Jess. Okay, I'll kill Tristan, Mary, Dean, F. Jess.
Yeah, that's I'm the same way.
I think that's like what they're... Someone on Twitter actually mentioned that the Paladinos originally, I don't know if this is true. I'm not putting them on blast or anything, the person on Twitter.
Oh, it was whose like name Paladinos. I'm not even,
Paladinos, shots fired. They said that they intended for Tristan to be the original Jess. And you could kind of see strains of that, but it is...
I would not, no, because Chad Michael Murray's hair...
My face. You mispronounced it.
I did. I'm sorry. Chad Michael Mudface's hair alone makes me think, oh, this guy is supposed to be awful. Like, no offense to him. It's the style of the time. But, sure. It's just this spiky sort of, like, I'm the bad boy. And who knows if you're going to love me kind of thing. It's like, as soon as he steps on the scene, I'm like, I don't want anything to do with this dude.
Wait, you don't want to what?
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately.
Oh, okay.
And all I had to do was think of me, and I've got peace of mind.
If you said those words in a conversation, people would say, what is wrong with you?
It's like, are you giving yourself a pep talk in the middle of our conversation?
But honestly, Deb, I don't want to be anything other than... anyway.
What do you mean?
We got more Twitter Q&As. You didn't do the theme song. Do the theme song real quick.
What theme song?
Do it. The Twitter Q&A theme song.
Twitter Q&A.
Yep. Might cut that out.
We're stepping up the production in 209.
Step up 3D. At Poop Doctor.
Poop Doctor.
This one.
By the way, he's not a real doctor.
His bio says, welcome to my ass, dude. You knew this. You knew he wasn't a real doctor.
I didn't know this.
Yes, I told you on air. I did. You can listen to it.
I can't believe I'm so forgetful.
Eeyore over here. Was Eeyore forgetful?
Oh, my God. Wait.
Oh, my gosh.
No, The thing is, I'm imagining it just says, "Welcome to my ass, dude." Like, I know that you were saying dude, but I imagine it says, "Welcome to my ass, dude." And that's so much funnier than
No, but there is like 20 exclamation points. I don't know if you'll love him after this next question, though.
Poop time.
Because the question is, being an old money New England family, how many slaves do you think Rory's family owned?
I still love Poop Dog Derek.
Wow.
From a realistic point of view, a few. I'm saying if we go, like, we don't even have to go that far back. Like, we go to maybe Trix's grandparents, and it's like, oh, yeah, no, I had slaves. Not even grandparents. I'm sure Trix's parents were like, we're on the fence about what to do with these slaves.
Oh, my gosh.
Were recently, like, look, if we're being completely real.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, they probably
okay,
did.
We'll say four. Poop Doctor, you happy?
Are you happy?
Yeah.
Welcome to my ass, dude.
Maybe that should be how we open every podcast. Hey, welcome to my ass. You're listening to Gilmore Guys.
This shouldn't be so funny to me.
And then we got Liz Roper's question.
Welcome to my
Jen at Lila C. Fall. Lila, we'll say Lila Seafall. I don't know. Did Dean overreact by watching her rehearsals?
I think he overreacted by wanting to watch the rehearsals. Like, I think that was a passive-aggressive, like, oh, I want to keep an eye on this Dean dude thing, even though he didn't say it like that. But I think at the actual rehearsal, like, Tristan was... Wait, what am I saying? I think Dean overreacted, and he was like originally like, I want to keep an eye on this Tristan dude. But at the rehearsal, Tristan was clearly egging him on. I think Dean just responded in kind.
Their looks. And then when after that one scene where Tristan butchers Shakespeare, and then they're like doing all these like death glares and stuff. Yeah. And then this is my lowest Dean moment, actually, even though he's probably done worse stuff. But he kisses Rory and looks at Tristan like she is a piece of property.
Oh, my God.
And it is... horrific. It is so cringe inducing.
I didn't even realize that.
Because he's like,
he's like, that's right, bro. 1-0 or something.
Gosh.
Like, God.
And then this comes to us from.
They raise such tension about Dean finding out that they kissed, and then nothing comes of that. Like, he never finds out.
Season 8, that's when it would have come out, but they never got season 8.
I know we're broken up now, but.
Are they broken up in season 8?
They're broken up in season, like,
I'm sure.
Yeah. No,
but you don't
she just
know.
Has other boyfriends. She's like, Dean, I'm thinking about polygamy.
It could be a big love thing.
It could be.
I mean, when I see Alexis Bledel next to Bill Paxton, I can't tell them apart. Like most of America. Cassie.
I was going to be like, hey, welcome to my ass, but I can't even say it without laughing.
Cassie Sorry. From Facebook writes, did you guys think it was totally out of character for Paris to not kiss Rory as Juliet when she was playing Romeo? But I think she did. They talked about it at the diner.
I remember them talking about it at the diner, but I also remember seeing and being like, oh, she just falls on her and doesn't kiss her?
And
or
with,
maybe it was like an
she does
screen.
Say, and with a kiss I die. But
yeah.
Then I think the dialogue is confusing because I say at the diner, at Luke.
She says, and then with a kiss I die, and then she dies and doesn't kiss her. And I was like, oh, is this a weird... censoring thing, or is this Paris being like, I don't want to do that?
Well, Dean asks in Luke's, he says, so did you and Paris actually kiss, or was that like a stage thing?
Yeah.
And then Rory says, a lady never kisses and tells.
Right.
So I don't know if Dean was just like super confused about the moment where they definitely did not kiss.
No, I don't know what a kiss looks like.
Or if it was a scene prior. But I think they only did one scene for the project. I don't know.
They really did only do one scene, but maybe it was just a shot we didn't see or something.
Shit don't matter. It's fine.
I think Paris would have kissed her. You know, like, if it
Oh,
were
she
Paris's,
would have committed.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not in a lesbian way like Martin would have wanted her. But
Do you think she would have used tongue?
Let's give a rating. Let's do it.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give it... I mean, it really is the strongest non-Emily episode.
It is. It's a very strong episode, despite Chad Michael Mudface.
By the way, did you see the sweater that Chelsea Guest
yes.
made me?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Okay, so...
At Guest House
on...
G-E-S-T.
At Guest House on Instagram, at Chelsea Guest on Twitter, made me an amazing sweatshirt.
It's incredible.
With your and my faces on it.
Right.
Picture of Alexis Bledel... Melissa McCarthy, a poop emoji, because you know, that's what Alexis would text us, and a picture of Emily, and it says "Our Queen" underneath it,
oh my God.
So good. I sleep in it every night. Truthfully,
that's incredible.
Might be TMI, but I mean,
that's not really TMI. People need to know that you sleep.
I do. Like, spoiler alert, I sleep.
Welcome to your ass, dude. I'm just gonna say it.
That's what I say every night. Welcome to my ass. But Chelsea made that, and it's amazing. So big shout out to Chelsea
for that.
Who also made us our first fan art. So
yeah.
She's been a big grassroots supporter of the show. Also, my mom made us these.
What?
She sewed and embroidered
what
are called mug rugs, literally in this sense, where it is a Gilmore Guys mug. With like, and she even has the hashtag.
That is so good.
Isn't that rad?
That's incredible.
And so, do you need me to hold them up? We're just doing a little photo shoot right now on the podcast. It's cool.
I got them.
But yeah, shout out to Laura Porter, LP, as the boys and girls of Kingwood would know her. And also known as my mom, who's great.
My mom.
Yeah. So big stars holla out to Chelsea and Laura. Let's rate the episode, which I've said 20 times, and then we keep getting sidetracked.
I give this a solid 7 out of 10 reassembled cars because it's a very good episode. It doesn't, as far as the story of the overall show goes, mm-hmm. it doesn't progress anything, like no major relationship changes happen, but there's a huge, I guess, it's not a major change, but the dynamic of Lorelai and Luke sort of,
yeah,
it has a very comfortable moment at the end where it feels like, oh, it changed, but I mean
it's almost progress, but truthfully the only progress is Dean almost finds out about Tristan and Rory's kiss,
yeah,
and then does not,
and then Tristan leaves,
yeah.
But it's still it's a good episode. I liked it a lot. I think my favorite, there was a very funny moment where I think Lorelai says something about how Rory's going to get famous, and she says something like, oh, and then James Lipton will ask what your favorite swear word is. And I knew that was an Inside the Actors Studio reference, but I didn't know if that was something someone had done before on Inside the Actors Studio. And I just imagined her going like, yeah, you know, like, shit's pretty cool. Fuck is a good one. Damn is nice. Like, just listing off a bunch of, I don't know why she said that, but it was funny to me. There were a lot of good lines and references. They didn't all feel like way out of place or way forced. Like,
I got them all except for one, Houseman.
Which I couldn't think of anyone that I was like, why did you,
right.
That seemed so forced. Like, although the Il Duce ones, I think she has some weird Benito Mussolini obsession.
Or fetish.
I don't. Yeah, I want to ask Max about what happened behind those closed doors.
I wanted to be a clown.
she made me watch fascist,
blah.
Fascist pornography. Mussolini, am I right?
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 9 out of 10. 9 out of 10 bags of flour. I just enjoyed it. Yeah, on the floor, on the ground. I just enjoyed it thoroughly, consistently.
I agree.
There was no, because I usually, when I rate an episode really high, it's always like, because of this one Emily scene.
Right.
Or this one Suki mom.
But this one manages to be strong without Emily.
Yeah, which is, I think, the first time where I'm like,
this would have been a 10-10 if Emily just walked through and was like, hi, I'm going.
Bye.
Sorry, I just came to pick up my flower.
So, guys, that's it. That's 209. Thank you.
Go away, little boy.
So much. Go away, little boy. Which, by the way, if someone knows the origin of that and we're just being stupid, just tell us and we'll own it up. Gilmore Goof all the way. Throw into the folder. But yeah, follow the show at Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on SoundCloud as well. SoundCloud.com/Gilmore-Guys. And you can follow Demi at Electro Lemon on Vine, first and foremost.
No, not first. You save that one for last.
Yeah. Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow Kevin at Kevin T. Porter on Instagram, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Zanga, Elo, J-Date, Christian
Mingle.
Christian Mingle.
I did it. Yes. I feel like Brody would do Christian Mingle.
Who knows what Brody would do?
Tinder, I swiped right. Positive energy.
Swipe right. Friend me on Facebook so you can see what things we have in common.
For all the people who don't know who we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Brody Stevens. Check him out. He's great.
He's great.
Thank you to all the Gillies who've been listening from day one.
Or day whatever we're on.
Or day... This is episode 29 of the show.
Seriously?
Of Gilmore Guys. Yeah.
Seriously?
Because we've combined episodes and...
Only 29, though.
Yeah. You feel like it's been more?
No, actually. That feels about right. But in my head, I was just
done,
like...
We've done more episodes of the show because we did combine some of them.
In my head... We
have been locked in here for 7 years.
Yeah, in my head, we're on season like 22.
Okay.
No, that sounds perfectly right. But in my head, like I haven't been keeping track in as a matter of being like, I don't know how long this has been, but we're doing fine.
Yeah,
yeah. No, it's been good.
In 2 months too.
Oh
so
my God.
Consider that 29. Not to toot our own horns, but it is like. It's hard to do episodes sometimes.
7 billion people are listening to this.
It's true. We got the numbers back.
Every person on... I don't understand...
You know what actually is funny, no bit zone, is a lot of people are tweeting, well, now that Serial's over, I gotta do Gilmore Guys.
That's like, not the follow-up.
Like, that's the... Like, that's the... naturally, I gotta go
Who knows
Guys.
Who murdered that woman? The Gilmores.
No, I'm just a podcast listener. Hey,
I gotta get the next soundbite. Thank you guys for listening, and we are going to take the show out the way that we always do.
By singing the theme song, but we wanted to do something special in honor of us being number one for 5 minutes.
Number one.
Mama so number one. We're gonna do, instead of doing the recorded version of Where You Lead, we're gonna do a little... acoustic ukulele version. How's the song go? Here we go.
If you're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow.
Oh, oh, oh!
Where you lead, I will follow. Anywhere that you tell me to.
I'm flat.
If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
Thanks for listening, guys.
I don't want to be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I'll peace of mind. I'm tired of hooping around hosting what I gotta do. All I'm supposed to be.